ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. President Biden addressing world leaders at the United Nations General Assembly and also hosting a reception. The president telling leaders the decisions made now will impact future generations.
We need to continue tackling the challenges that most affect people's lives, from conflict, climate change, to corruption and beyond.
Ukraine's President Zelensky also addressed the UN. Address code drama in the Senate.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer recently changed the Senate dress code from business suits to wear whatever you feel like. Republican Leader Mitch McConnell's reaction?
I can't imagine that we're going to be wearing jeans on the Senate floor anytime soon.
Now 46 Republicans are urging Senator Schumer to keep the suit and tie dress code, saying casual every day disrespects the Senate tradition. Only one senator, John Fetterman, regularly wears a sweatshirt and shorts to work. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News. Danny Masterson's wife has filed for divorce less than 2 weeks after he was sentenced to 30 years to life in prison. ABC's Jason Nathanson is in Hollywood with that story.
Bijou Phillips was in court in support of her husband, former That 70s Show star Danny Masterson, when he was sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for rape earlier this month. Now she wants out of the marriage, citing irreconcilable differences in court documents. She's asking for custody of their 9-year-old daughter and spousal support, and she wants to drop Masterson as her legal last name. She also says she'll allow him to have visitation rights. The two were married in 2011. Jason Nathanson, ABC News.
Parents could soon get a refund if their kids secretly bought virtual gear on the Fortnite video game. The Federal Trade Commission will notify more than 37 million people they may be eligible for compensation. This is all part of a legal settlement with Epic Games, Inc. The FTC announced a $520 million settlement with the company last year over children's privacy and deceptive payment methods. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about 5 minutes.
It was like a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Yes, we're going to use lethal force. Yes, we reserve the right to operate.
He clearly stated he would go in and then slaughter the cartel and they would be killing everywhere. He used that verbiage.
Unless Mexico invites us to send our troops into their country, it's essentially under international law tantamount to an act of war to send troops into a country without the invitation of the country.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Mike, of all the people that your wife knew in Two Rivers, did any of them have a Shetland pony?
Mike, you're a new listener. John, for some reason,
the only person in the history of Two Rivers that had a Shetland pony when he was a kid.
Star. He was awesome.
Oh yeah.
He was great. I'd come home from school, ride him. He's a great horse. And his Shetland pony, we had him. We didn't. It was great.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Johnson with Kristen Bry. Your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this Tuesday, September 19th, my last Tuesday until baby comes.
Yes.
We got both Jane here. We got Greg here.
Hello.
This whole week, we're going to do the three of us as a transition to what everyone can expect for the next 3 months. Of you two being at the helm.
Exactly. I will be where you are.
Yeah.
Starting on Monday.
In our new studio.
In our
new, well.
Newish.
Same location.
Revamped.
Upgraded digs.
Yes. Our upgraded digs. And Greg will be running the board. And so I will be acting as you with a lineup of co-hosts that will change from day to day. But Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show will join on Mondays. Dominic Salvia from Devils will join me Tuesdays. Greg and I on Wednesday and Thursday, and then Carol Kane, the one and only and my dear friend, is going to be joining me on Fridays.
I'm so interested to see how the show is slightly different depending on who the co-host is. How the topics will change.
Yep.
How the tone might change, how the jokes might change.
Oh, the jokes are going to get so much sweeter.
Are they?
Oh. No, I would never withhold the funniness from you, Kristen. In this time of...
I'd hold that against you.
Babyosity.
Babyosity?
Babyosity. I like it.
Well, speaking of babyosity, at the top of the next hour, I'm so excited. I feel like this is a very topical... It's our article. It's a very popular article right now that's from the New Yorker. Basically talking about why can't our friendship survive your baby?
And it's a great subject.
As two people... right now, all three of us are childless. You two are two people who've chosen never to have kids. And I think probably are very much on one side of this article as far as experiencing changed or lost friendships over the years. I'm about to be on the other side of it, of friendships that change once you have a kid. And we would love to hear from you. This is at 11. Have you lost friends over being the people who had kids, or have you lost friends once they had kids? So I'm really excited to dive into that
too.
With you guys, because I think it's timely, to
it
say
is.
The least. At least
it
you
is.
Guys can't get rid of me, though, because we work together. So even if you don't want to be my friend anymore, you still got to see me once I come back from maternity leave.
This is just a slow burn goodbye on us.
I sent it to friends last night. They're like, wait, are you breaking up with us already?
It's a pre-breakup warning.
So we're going to talk about that at 11. But this morning, first... Happy National Voter Registration Day, guys.
Big
Heck
day.
Yeah.
Big day.
Yes. So the election may be more than, the presidential election may be more than a year away, but it's never too early to register to vote or to check your registration. So head over to myvote.wi.gov today, check your registration, maybe encourage someone else to vote.
Do we know if you're a 17-year-old who's going to turn 18 before the November election, is that something they can do now?
That's a great question.
I believe you can vote. Let me look into that. I will look that up.
Just to register. I'm not saying they can vote, but can they register now?
So they'll already be registered once they turn 18.
Exactly.
That I will look up for you. And here's an important piece of information from my time when I worked in the Obama campaign, which was actually a disenfranchised move. If you are currently on probation, papers, as they say. You got out of jail and you are on papers. If you are coming off of papers before an election, you can still register to vote. Your vote will be counted. You can vote even if you're on papers, as long as once you come off, it is before an election. If you listen to this, tell someone you know. If you are on papers, know that. It's your right.
There you go. So happy National Voter Registration Day. We'll get through. If you know of any events that are happening today, feel free to let us know and we will announce them on air. 844-967-2789, because I know there's a lot happening in Milwaukee, but we'd love to hear more that's happening throughout the state to celebrate and try to get people to register to vote. All right, but the topic I wanted to start with today is basically the Wisconsin's big news from yesterday. After months of what's the holdup, the Wisconsin GOP finally announced a proposal for what their proposal is to keep the Brewers in Wisconsin. And it's a lot more expensive than what, it's basically double the cost of what Tony Evers' plan was. If you'll remember, Evers proposed giving the stadium district $290 million in state funding that was going to come from our state's surplus, which we still have because it was not all spent in the last budget. But now this deal, which is not, this is just a proposal. It's not been voted on. There's still room to negotiate it. It would still have to be signed. It would still have to pass and be signed by Tony Evers. But it's a $700 million proposal, so it's more than double.
Yeah.
To extend the Milwaukee Brewers at least until 2050, with the bulk of the funding coming from the state and local taxes, including, and then it would be $100 million from the team. So it's $600 million from the state and local, and it's $100 million from the team. And so the state's contribution would be covered by income taxes collected by... collected from the Brewers and visiting teams, because that is one thing I think is interesting. And so you, when players are visiting here, they get taxed prorated, like for whatever they make the day or the 3 days that they're here playing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the taxes do come from the visiting players. So that would generate about $643.6 million over the length of the lease. But here's the thing that I think most people are having issue with. It double taxes people who live in the city of Milwaukee, because the only county or city that is on the hook for this to contribute is the city of Milwaukee and the county. So the five counties that were doing this, the stadium tax before, it's just Milwaukee County. Yeah. So they get hit twice, and it would be $7.5 million each year until 2050 when the lease expires, which in total would be $202 million that they'd have to cover.
Because Milwaukee County's fiscal problems are completely taken care of.
Yeah. So basically that would come from annual state shared revenue payments. And I have not done the math to know how much that is takes out of the shared revenue that just went up.
Yeah. After many, many, many years.
After many years. And I don't know why. Because Greg.
Yeah.
You don't live in Milwaukee County.
No, I live in Kenosha County.
Do you go to Brewers games?
Heck yeah.
Yes, you do.
I do. I try to go to at least 10 a season.
I would imagine a lot of people who live in Waukesha County, where we're sitting right now, also enjoy Brewers games. And it seems a little weird to me that someone who lives in Waukesha is going to pay the same amount for this stadium as someone in Vilas County or Rhinelander.
Sure.
And so that is... It feels like they kind of got off the hook. But I want to hear from you. If you've looked at this deal, or based off of what we just summarized, who wins in this scenario? Who are the winners? Who are the losers in this GOP deal? 844-967-2789. Jane, what do you think?
Well, the Brewers are the winners.
Yeah.
When I saw this, that they're only paying $100 million, which should not be a surprise, but is... immensely disappointing to me,
because it's basically their current annual rent is $1.2 million, and this would increase it to $3.3 million, which
is not nothing.
Is not nothing.
I understand that, but again, they have more money than that,
and this is what's kind of tricky.
So as I was driving in, and I was thinking about this, and because I, you know, the numbers are being run of, and it's, you know, numbers are numbers, and so sometimes it's hard to keep it straight.
Yep.
But, you know, money coming in, money coming out at the local level, at the county level, at the state level. What is the money coming in from keeping the Brewers? What is the money going out to pay for these renovations? And the one number that I feel like we don't know is the profit margin of the Brewers. Like, we know revenue, right? Looked up revenue.
Yeah, we looked up revenue, and in 2022, they made $295 million. And I told you that from 2001 to last year, with the exception of 2020 and 2021, it's been a steady, consistent increase.
And but as we know, that's revenue. That's and revenue. They have to pay for salaries and of the players, salaries of the staff, like there is
health insurance.
Yes. They have an operating budget of about 23 to 25 million, but that doesn't include payroll.
So, but what we, it seems hard to find is how much profit they actually are getting. And so what, how good of a deal is that for them that their rent only goes from 1.2 to 3.3 million? They still get a new stadium. They don't have to go through the rigmarole of moving, even though they kind of act like it's such a favor for them to stay.
Well, they always
because
do.
Because we're such a small market.
No one else would want to come here.
If you don't give us what we want, we leave.
Exactly.
And we'll cry and wipe our tears off
we
with our dollar
stay.
Bills.
Yeah. Why won't you just let us stay?
Yeah. It's the equivalent of saying, we're not mad. We're just disappointed. We don't want to leave.
So we would love to hear from you of what you think about this bill. Granted, this is not signed, sealed, and delivered yet. No. This is just a proposal. But compared to the original deal that may be DOA, but the deal that Tony Evers originally proposed of $290 million from the surplus that would also be put into a fund that could accrue interest, that interest could then pay for future renovations versus something that puts the state and then the city and county of Milwaukee predominantly on the hook for this. Better deal? Who wins? Who loses? 844-967-2789. Greg, do you have, you had strong thoughts about this when we talked about it previously.
I had strong thoughts, but we have about a minute and a half left. So, we could probably talk about when we come back from the break.
Okay.
But
thoughts?
I had strong thoughts, got more information, changed some ideas, but I still have strong thoughts, especially now on Robin Voss's plan versus a more fiscally responsible plan. That's what we can go in the next
all
segment.
Right.
So.
All right. Good tease. Good tease. And then coming at the bottom of the hour at 10:30, Dan Schaefer is going to be here to recombobulate. We'll also ask his opinion on the Brewers. But then that special session comes tomorrow. What are the chances? What are the odds? Oh. Gavel in, gavel out? Any bet takers? Anyone? Anyone?
8 seconds.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now. Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WIS. And on the Civic Media app.
Mino and the Mayor.
We're talking with Tony Mandrich. You're talking about your alcohol problems. Jim kind of mentioned here during the break. He said, yeah, the coaches didn't do anything about it. And I said, didn't do anything about it. They were with the guys.
I mean, nobody forced anybody to drink. Drinking was just part of it. And it was kind of like that stereotype of, you know, being a guy or being an athlete, or it was just part of that.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy overnight with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. Lows dip down to about 57. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, slight chance for isolated storms. High of 78. Mainly cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 60. Temperatures a bit above average Thursday and Friday, with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 59.
Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go right to the lines. I'm going to conclude with what I said to Bill of Oconomowoc. So what Voss is doing as he gavels in, gavels out, is not obeying the statute. There's a thing in the law called form and substance that technically follows the form. It doesn't meet the substance. I think Tony Evers would be justified in telling Josh Call to bring a lawsuit against Voss and forcing him, and I think the Supreme Court would go along with it. When he is obligated under the statute to convene on an issue, it has to be for a certain period of time. And one way courts can do it is they'll say, all right, Voss, you propose a minimal period of time. Okay, on the other side, you propose it, and I'll pick one of them, or I'll put my own in there. But the problem, Bill, is they have a gerrymandered majority. So go ahead. They do. They gavel in for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, sit there, don't say anything. The Democrats propose thing and they vote it down. What's happened, the essence of this is the gerrymander. That is what is the killer. Bob of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Bob?
Immigration is on my mind today. Amy Goodwin exposed something over the weekend. 100 senators have said the borders are open. Guess what? They're making posters of those senators. And in Central America, and the traffickers are recruiting people based on the fact that these Congress people are saying the border is wide open. No wonder there's so many people showing up. Thanks to the evil of the Republicans. This is the new big lie to create an immigration flux. That's crazy.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob. Let me boil that down before we go to the next topic. Immigration, there is a procedure for immigration where you can put in to immigrate. And if you put in your home country, you get put on a list. And a lot of people do that. What's happened is traffickers, coyotes, they call them. Also the cartels are charging these people a lot of money, raping the women frequently and inducing them to come up. In 2021, in something like a 10-month period, 1 million people that came in were released into the country, told to come back for their hearing. 177,000 of them gave false addresses. We can't find them. And the rest aren't going to come back. The whole issue of asylum. Now, remember something. Asylum is an absolutely protected thing and a good thing. And it really arose after the Second World War, when victims of the Nazi genocide sought asylum in different countries. Now, asylum means that in your home country, you are subject to attack and murder because of your race or your religion or an ethnic thing like that. In other words, Kurds in any Arab country could ask for asylum somewhere else because they are hunted down in, for instance, in Turkey, who are not Arabs. They're a Turkic people. They butchered the Kurds. They butchered the Armenians 100 years ago. But the people that are coming into the country now are not being discriminated against or attacked because of their race or because of their religion, because they're coming from homogeneous countries where everybody's of that race or religion. They just use the word asylum, and then they stay, and they don't go back. Now, yes, they are very good people, many of them. Some of them are not very good people. Some of them, there are some people that we had on a terrorist watch list that slipped through. There are people coming from Russia that have slipped through. The other thing to keep in mind is that there are 8 billion people in the world. And I would say probably a billion of them, without exaggeration, live in very bad, harsh circumstances where they'd love to come to the United States or Europe. And tens of millions do come or try to come. There's a legitimate question, how many can we accommodate? I'm not talking about actual asylum seekers, but the use of the word asylum that is really, not only is it not accurate, but it's misleading. Fareed Zakaria on CNN on Sunday made an interesting point. He said that if the Congress won't do anything, and it's true, Bob, is true, the Congress can't agree on anything, Joe Biden, by executive order, should just absolutely stop any entries based on asylum, because 99% of them aren't asylum. And if people absolutely need asylum, they should go to an American embassy in their home country. That, to me, was a reasonable thing. And this is an issue that's going to bubble up in this campaign, and I do not want to see it resulting in Donald Trump getting elected. Tatter Billy, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Tatter Billy?
Hey, Matt. I'm just questioning whether you're using the word asylum awfully narrowly. I'm not really sure, but I'm thinking about, for instance, refugees from the Vietnam era or folks from Afghanistan who are not seeking to leave their countries because of an ethnic heritage or something like that, but rather because of their relationship to the United States and supporting us in a war effort, and needing to seek asylum for that reason, or, you know, in a lot of countries and socialist or communist regimes were persecuting people because of their level of education and persecuting people because they were perceived of as elites. Is that not also a ground for asylum?
You have three things in there. Very good question. And I'm going to break them down. When we go to the break in a minute, then I'm going to come back and finish it. First of all, during the Vietnam War, the Hmong people were magnificent, and we absolutely had to bring them in here. It's technically not because of their race or religion, but it's because they're loyal to the United States. In Afghanistan, the same thing with our interpreters and all that, but there were not 100,000 interpreters that came into this country, believe me, or tried to get in, that swarmed that airplane. So I've got to go to a break. We're getting in the high sign. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more after the break, and I will finish responding to Tatter Billy after the break.
Me, I know it, baby. You know it, too.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. President Biden addressing world leaders at the United Nations General Assembly and also hosting a reception. The president telling leaders the decisions made now will impact future generations.
We need to continue tackling the challenge that most affect people's lives. from conflict, climate change, to corruption and beyond.
Ukraine's President Zelensky also addressed the UN. Address code drama in the Senate.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer recently changed the Senate dress code from business suits to wear whatever you feel like. Republican Leader Mitch McConnell's reaction?
I can't imagine that we're going to be wearing jeans on the Senate floor anytime soon.
Now 46 Republicans are urging Senator Schumer to keep the suit and tie dress code, saying casual every day disrespects the Senate tradition. Only one senator, John Fetterman, regularly wears a sweatshirt and shorts to work. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Helfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt for the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go right to the lines. Before we do, I'm just going to finish up with Todd or Billy. Todd or Billy, there are two kinds of asylum. There's what I would call legally mandatory asylum, and that's based on race and religion and ethnicity. And the other one is discretionary asylum, where if there are people that have assisted us in our military, like the Hmongs, some of our allies in South Vietnam, or in Afghanistan, the interpreters, we should give them discretionary asylum. However, something like 100,000, 130,000 people wanted to get out of Afghanistan and were swarming the plane. They were not all interpreters. They were not all interpreters. And when Afghanistan sent over military people to be trained here, 40% of them went AWOL and we couldn't find them. They simply want to be here, but they bring their culture with them. Afghanistan is terrible towards their women. It murders them. It's terrible what they do. That is their culture. Are we supposed to save people from their culture? They're going to have to change their culture. They're going to have to kill their own leaders. They're going to have to revolt. They're going to have to do something. There are 8 billion people in the world. I think there are a billion of them who are in very, very tough economic circumstances. And there are many more than that, probably the majority of them who belong or live in authoritarian cultures. I do not think we give discretionary asylum to people who are in authoritarian, communist, jihadist, other culture, who say, I disagree with my culture and I want you to save me. I want those cultures changed. Go to the lines. Dave in Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, first, Biden, released, he shouldn't, maybe, I mean, he can, but issued that executive order you mentioned, banning all people that show up at our border claiming asylum. I know maybe 99% don't fit the criteria, but there's 1% that do, and, you know, it's an absolute no-no in international law, the law of armed conflict, to refuse those people that show up at our border consideration. It's called refoulement. Secondly, you mentioned that there's a lot of bad people coming in, too. I just want to clarify that immigrants have a much lower, they commit crimes in much less, at a much lower rate than do native-born Americans. So for any amount of immigrants coming in, you're less likely to be a target of any kind of crime. Do we have 60,000? What is it? It's either 60,000 a week or month that are retiring and not paying taxes. You know, every week or month is 60,000 more people come in. I mean, are retire or are not paying taxes because they get older. And yet we have 150,000 immigrants showing up at our border that are young families. And I mean, that's a godsend. I don't know why we should be paying them to come in due to our aging population. In addition, 40% of the Fortune 500 was started by first generation immigrants, and a lot of the rest by their kids. And I could go on and on and on. 25% of the Nobel Prizes, first generation immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted to clarify that, Matt.
Okay, let me just respond a little bit, though, Dave. You say that 1%, perhaps, of the people coming in over our southern border are genuine asylum seekers. At some point, I think then what you say to them is apply for asylum to an American embassy or consulate in your home country, if 99% of them are not. Number two, I happen to agree with you on one thing. I think many of the 99% are a great benefit to our country. I've watched the interviews and so forth. These are people coming from Venezuela, coming from Mexico, coming from, you know, Ecuador, that kind of thing, who in a generation or two are going to assimilate very well, and they're essential. But my question to you would be this. There are 8 billion people in the world. How many would you let in? How many would you let in? Right now, it's about almost 200,000 a month. And what I'm saying is you've got to get control of it until Congress does it in an orderly fashion. You've seen what's happened in New York, in Chicago, and some of our bigger cities. That's got to stop. So you're absolutely right that we need immigration. An example of a country that doesn't permit it is Japan. And they're going down the tubes. You know, you'll have a few native Japanese and all sorts of guest workers in the future there, and that's it. And most countries are cutting back. We are benefited by our immigrants, but we're not benefited by 8 billion of them. That is the issue. And if Congress won't do something, then it's going to have to be done by Joe Biden. Okay, we're going to go on to our next, and I appreciate your call, Dave. Please call more in the future. Joe Biden gave a terrific speech today in front of the UN, and so did Volodymyr Zelensky. And Biden's was especially astute. What Biden said was this. He stood strong against Russia, and he stood strong for Ukraine. But he also understands what the third world and the second world are up against. Poverty, obviously climate change, natural disasters. And the Russian embargo of Ukrainian exports is really causing hunger. And the United States has been number one pride and support. Well, he did a carrot and the stick. In other words, he was very tough on Russia and for Ukraine, but he's very understanding about the rest of the world, because a lot of the rest of the world right now, they're not necessarily going to get behind Ukraine, Russia, us, or anybody else. And one of the things that he did that I think was especially astute, some of the people in the second and third world turned to China. They turned to Russia sometimes, but Russia's a basket case. They turned to China. China is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. China, in this Belt and Road Initiative, lends massive amounts of money, builds harbors and so forth, but then it charges interest. It doesn't just give the stuff away. And a lot of these countries don't have an infrastructure, a tax infrastructure, or any other kind of infrastructure to benefit. Once they have it built, that's great. And then suddenly the bills come due, they're delinquent. I think that the Belt and Road Initiative, the fraud behind it, has to be pointed out. And it was pointed out very, very well by Joe Biden. But let me get to Ukraine. Let me get a little farther into Ukraine. You remember my anecdote at the beginning of this show, where I said that in a restroom in the Capitol, there was a draft resolution of removal of Kevin McCarthy that had been drafted by Matt Gaetz. McCarthy is frightened. McCarthy has no character. McCarthy has no strength and no backbone. One of the things that he has sucked up to the Freedom Caucus and the MAGA right is antipathy towards Ukraine. And I could never understand that, quite frankly. Ronald Reagan, the Republicans, always were strongly anti-Russian, anti-communist, not in the sense of not liking the people, but in the sense, you take a look at George H.W. Bush, he got along very well with the Russian Gorbachev and then Yeltsin. But when it came time to Russian communism, and so, that's nothing more than the Russian mafia right now with a different name. Reagan stood tall, Truman stood tall, Eisenhower, Kennedy, everybody did. Everybody did. What the interview with McCarthy was, he blustered. He said, well, who is Zelensky? Is he a congressman? He is a president? We're not going to send him anything more. He has to account for what we sent him. Are you kidding me? For 5% of our defense budget, we've killed 250,000 Russians. We've destroyed well over 3,000 of their tanks, their motor vehicles in the combat, destroyed their ships without a single American soldier or sailor. Are you kidding me? He's sucking up to Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the rest of them on this. Russia right now is in the world court, as I speak, in Europe against Ukraine, begging the world court to dismiss Ukraine's case of genocide against them. The Russian invasion is not a war. It's a genocidal, sadistic invasion. It is designed to wipe out Ukraine and its people or convert them into being Russians. They've kidnapped more than 20,000 Ukrainian children, and they're indoctrinating them that they're Russians and taking them away from their families. In some cases, they beat the hell out of them. Their phrase is, we'll beat the Ukrainian out of them. We'll beat the Ukrainian at him. I don't know if you've ever been to a Bucks game. Go to a Bucks game. It's a great game. Fiserv Forum seats a little over 20,000 people. Imagine Fiserv Forum filled with Ukrainian kids, and the Ruskies just come and kidnap them. That's what's happened. That's what's happened. What Zelensky needs now, in my opinion, especially as the cold weather comes and hand-to-hand combat is very, very difficult, he needs more long-range HIMAR missiles, and he needs the F-16 planes. And we've been slow-rolling that because the Germans have, in the background, tried to lobby against it. The French have tried to lobby against it. Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump would cut off Ukraine and would join Russia. I think that you heard that Donald Trump the other day, Putin endorsed him. Putin said it's a shame what they did to him. He's a good man. What did Trump say? He said, well, I appreciate that. Trump is a Russian agent. It is imperative that we get the HIMARS and the planes to Zelensky. Our missiles go somewhere between 150 and 190 miles. The missiles we've given them go 50 miles. The British, the UK have given them some long-range missiles. They've got to be able to sit back and pummel Crimea, pummel Sevastopol, pummel the Russian fleet in the Black Sea. They've got to be able to do that. Russia just hosted Kim Jong-un. And you know what he did as a present, as a housewarming present? He gave Kim Jong-un a present of attack drones. Giving North Korea any weapons is a violation of UN sanctions that Russia voted for. Russia voted for them. Now Ukraine has been reduced to having to ask Germany to halt ammunition tool sales that are headed to Russia through Turkey. Biden is doing a superb job getting NATO together. Biden is doing a superb job sanctioning Russia. It would be a disaster if Donald Trump or any one of his ilk, DeSantis or any of the others, got into it. And then the final thing, Mexico has an Independence Day parade. Guess who marched in it? A Russian military contingent and a Chinese military contingent in Mexico. López Obrador is the left-wing nut who's the president of Mexico. Mexico is a crooked narco state. The immigrants we get from Mexico are great people who sustain our economy, and they're terrific. But the fact of the matter is that even Mexico cannot be relied on with respect to Russia. Keep that in mind. You do not want Donald Trump trying to sort this all out. We're going to the lines. We have 1 minute. Dick of Madison, my friend. You got a minute, my friend. What's in your mind today?
Another thing with Ukraine, after reading a lengthy article in New Yorker about Elon Musk, this guy, Matt, is very scary. I mean, who's to say he hasn't prolonged this war with what he's pulled? As far as I'm concerned, you know, it's scary with the power this guy has, and our military even. And some of these guys discuss this in the article, of course, on the condition of being anonymous. But this is not right, what this guy is pulling. I mean, he's literally cost people's lives in that conflict or that war.
Right. I'm going to respond to that. I agree with you, by the way, Dick. I'm going to respond after the break. It's a good point. Elon Musk is a segment in and of himself. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Hey man, looking good.
It's Stitch Fix. I'd like to thank my stylist for making me look so great. They always get my fit just right. They send clothes that work for me and my budget. They even found me my favorite pair of jeans. I'd like to thank Stitch Fix because let's get real, I couldn't make this style happen on my own. They just make everything so easy. So thank you, Stitch Fix. They just get me and they'll get you too. Stitch Fix, take your style quiz today at stitchfix.com.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 57. Overnight under cloudy skies. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for isolated storms. Daytime highs approaching 78. Mainly cloudy again. Tomorrow night, lows around 60. Temps a bit above average. Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-70s to the upper 70s. Chance for scattered storms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 58.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Back to Matt, the director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to respond briefly to Dick. When it comes to Elon Musk, what Dick's referring to is that Elon Musk would not let his Starlink satellite system be operative for an attack. This is back, I think, in September last year by Ukraine on Russian ships in Crimea. Elon Musk is an egomaniac. He's also a very, very talented guy. Let me tell you something. If you think of a guy who comes to the United States, he's born in South Africa, got beaten up down there quite a bit, went to Canada, studied at the University of Pennsylvania, and he decides, I'm going to start a rocket ship company in competition with NASA, and I am going to start a car company in opposition to Ford, GM, and Toyota. Now, that, I must say, would never have occurred to me, and he's an amazing guy. However, I think he's naive, and he apparently talked to Putin. I think that's wrong. I do not think private citizens should be in those kinds of conversations. He runs the risk of being prosecuted for being a foreign agent, quite frankly. But here's the problem. He's the one who invented the Starlink satellite system that Ukraine uses to do the war because Russia has jammed all their communications. If Musk tomorrow said, I'm not going to let Ukraine use Starlink at all, they could well be overrun. Tony Blinken, whom I think a lot of, Tony Blinken is the Secretary of State, gave a nice statement on this. Somebody made the exact point Dick made, and Tony said, well, yeah, that's something that I don't want to comment on, but we've been in discussions with Musk, and it looks as if Musk may be about either to turn over part of the Starlink system to the U.S. government. And Blinken said he has been very good to Ukraine in letting them use the Starlink communication system for everything else within Ukraine. So I frankly agree that he got suckered by Putin. Putin apparently threatened to start World War III if Starlink were used to target Russian ships in Sevastopol, in Crimea, and in the Black Sea. I think he was lying. And what happened is Musk is not a hold'em player. He backed down. Those decisions should be made by the government, by trained diplomats. They shouldn't be made by Musk. But I also want to say that it's not entirely without something to be said for Elon Musk, because without him and without Starlink, Ukraine would not have any communication systems. We have a couple of, this is unbelievable, interesting political tidbits. Well, it's now looking like a surety that Matt Gaetz, believe it or not, will run for governor of Florida in 2026. Now, how does he do that? DeSantis is governor. Maybe DeSantis is elected president. When pigs fly, that's not going to happen. But DeSantis is term limited. So in 2026, he can't run again. Gaetz is, he avoided a trafficking charge. His wingman apparently gave information against him, but somehow they didn't prosecute him. But Matt Gaetz has less character on his face than almost anybody I've ever met. It's impossible for me to see how Florida elects him governor, except they also elected Scott. senator and governor, Senator Scott, who, when he was the head of a healthcare company that was fined over $1 billion, the biggest fine for Medicaid fraud in the history of the country, when he was taken before the grand jury, took the fifth. He said, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might incriminate me. Made a lot of money off of that. Goes to Florida, runs for governor. You'd think that anybody in his right mind would go, guy who goes in front of a grand jury and takes the fifth, I don't want him as governor. They apparently like that down there. His excuse was, I really wanted to testify. The lawyers beat me up, twisted my arm, held me down. That's all a lie. And yet he gets elected governor and senator. So all bets are off in Florida. One other tidbit that came down is in the Georgia case. The Georgia case over the Raffensperger phone call and the fake electors and all of that. The judge has summoned, is going to summon 900 jurors. 900 jurors. Now, hold on. 900 jurors. Why 900 jurors? You end up wanting a jury of 12 to convict them unanimously and beyond a reasonable doubt. Usually what happens when you go into a trial, you use 14 jurors. Some states won't let you do that in criminal cases, so maybe they'll only use 12, but they use 14. And then at the end, they draw lots, throw two of them off. But apparently they think they're going to need a pool of 900 to screen out people who have been threatened, people who have made up their mind. And I'll tell you what, that's... I've never heard that many jurors before, but this judge is a good judge and he has his hand on things. We go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind at Wisco Paul?
I just a quick point on the end of the day here, Matt. As far as Trump goes, these trials are going to go well into next year. Am I correct on that? Because if it does, we're going to be in the presidential election, for goodness sake. So, are we looking well into next year? Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, we are. One thing, and I'll throw this in as we near the end of the show. Tanya Chutkan, the great judge in Washington, D.C., is being asked to sanction Trump for lying and for threatening people and all that. But somebody made a really good point. They said, you know, the way you can get him is just schedule an early trial. Schedule it in March. That's about the earliest you could do it. Squeeze the guy. The problem was, I mean, I'll be very candid with you. Jack Smith is terrific, but Merrick Garland didn't get around to appointing him until last November. If he'd done it a year before, these trials would have happened right now. Garland was wavering. He's not strong. He finally did the right thing. My hat's off to him for that. But yeah, we're going to have trials all year. And you know that Eileen Mercedes Cannon down in Mar-a-Lago area, she's going to put this thing off for a year. She'll find sneaky ways to help Trump. But in New York, in D.C., and in Georgia, I think they should go to trial next year. And that's not as good as it should have been if they'd gone to trial this last year, but you take what you can get. We come to the end of the show. Great show. Great show, callers, as always. Matt Flynn, director, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for a great show. Diamond Crute. Sign off for today. Don't let me down.
Great show, Matt.
Yeah, good good work, Calvin. I think, I hope. You can do it all by yourself, baby girl. What's your name?
Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink. Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night. I'm buying you a drink.
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the